Thank you, John and Jeanette, for your faithful service and these and the music, singing to these hymns. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And in case we don't deal with every verse, I want to go ahead and read it, okay? Acts chapter 8. Philip was sent by the Lord to preach to this man. In verse 27, we'll pick up there. Philip arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all her treasure. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? And the eunuch said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip. He asked Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. We read it, Isaiah 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's the man. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, a lake or river, pond. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, but boy, he went on his way rejoicing. This is the story of a sinner saved. Just another minute. A sinner, a seeker, to whom the Lord sent a preacher. Every seeking sinner will hear a preacher. And this preacher preached the Savior. And the Lord saved this man. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so he confessed Christ in believers' baptism. All do. All whom the Lord saves. Willingly, lovingly, cheerfully, humbly and thankfully confess him in believers' baptism. This is a story that still takes place. Still takes place. Story of every sinner God saves. There are no exceptions. They're all saved the same way as this eunuch. Every one of them. Every one. He's a seeker. Our Lord said in Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Didn't it? Seek ye the Lord. Oh, many seek, you know, religion and a job and a wife and a good life and so forth. But he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek truth. Sadly, and this is a fact though, Isaiah said also that there's none that calleth on God. None that seeketh the truth. By nature, no one. Lord, look down from heaven, see if there are any that did understand, any that did seek God. No, he said, there's none. men just don't seek the Lord. They're dead in trespass and sin. Well, why was this man seeking the Lord? Because the Lord sought him. He said in Ezekiel 34, he said, I will seek my sheep that are scattered, and I will bring them. I will seek them. I will find them. The Lord said in his Sermon on the Mount, seek, ask, seek, knock. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone that calleth. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call, though? How shall they call on him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they call on him whom they not believe? How shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Wherever there's a seeker of the truth, wherever there's a seeking sinner, someone that wants to know God, wants to know the truth, God will send them a preacher. That's what he did with Philip. So we have a seeker, have a sinner, a seeker, because the Lord made him to seek. He came to worship. It says that, doesn't it? He came to worship. And if you don't know Christ, if you don't know the true God, you won't worship. He didn't hear the truth at Jerusalem. He heard it where? Outside the camp. So God sent a preacher. Look at verse 5 of chapter 8. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Preached. Look at verse 12. It says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women. So he preached. Preached Christ. Verse 25. Look at this. They heard and testified and preached the word of the Lord. They returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel. Please God by the foolishness of preaching. I just quoted Romans 10. This is the means that God has used and uses, still uses. And if men won't hear the preaching, they don't want to hear from God. That's just so. You know, preaching is a humbling thing. All those Pharisees had to sit and listen to some fishermen preach. And at first, well, none of them wanted to hear from these fellows. They didn't want to hear from Christ. He's just, who is he? They said he's just a carpenter, and we've studied in the foremost religious schools of the day. Yeah, and you don't know a thing. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God, and that by preaching. The Lord sent this preacher to this unit. And I had it written down at one time, but it was, oh, here it is. It was 80 or 90 miles away from where Philip was. He walked, says he ran. If you walk at a brisk pace, it would have taken him 20 hours. Wherever there's a sinner, a seeker, God's going to send a preacher. He's able to save the uttermost, and the way he does it is the gospel. That's the way he did it. You remember the story of Brother Walter driving his truck up into the remote mountains of Mexico, and a man named Feliz, happy, met him in the middle of the road with a gun. You remember that? Lord sent Walter all the way up there to save that one man. Like you. And he preached to him. He went and preached to him and his house. What did he preach? How shall they preach except to be sent? Well, what do they preach? They don't preach what? They preach a person. They preach Christ. It says, Philip, verse 35, opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, and preached unto him Jesus. That is, the man asked, What man is he talking about? Isaiah talking about himself or some other man? So Philip preached Jesus, the man Jesus of Nazareth. And when it was over, he's not calling him just Jesus, is he? He realized that man is God. And that God-man is his God and his Savior. And he confessed to himself. All right, go back to Isaiah 53. Go back there. This is who. This is where. And this is who he preached to this eunuch. And so do I. Isaiah 53. We have a sinner, a seeker, we have a preacher, and we have a savior. Wherever there's a seeking sinner, God sends a preacher. And if he's sent by God, he's going to preach Jesus Christ, the savior of sinners. The gospel. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The gospel. Isaiah 53. Now, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is what Philip, this is where he preached to the eunuch, and so do I. Who? It must be revealed. The gospel must be revealed. Christ must reveal himself. It's not by free will. It's not our decision. It's not a decision we make. It's not something we accept. No, no, no. To whom is he revealed? And he's revealed by this report. The record. The message of the gospel. He reveals himself through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. Here he is. He shall grow up before God as a tender plant. Oh, he is that plant. He is the tree of life. That's who he is. A tender plant. As a root out of dry ground, God put the sinless son into this dry, barren place. That when he, after this corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, John, the fruit is going to fill the earth and heaven. A root. Oh, the root of the matter is in him. And he's the vine or the branch. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we see him, no beauty that we should desire him. He looked just like a man, like any other man. Like the tabernacle in the wilderness. And Philip is telling the eunuch this. The eunuch knew about the tabernacle, the temple, okay? All the sacrifice. He knew those things. Philip is telling him, all of that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, that man that grew up before God, that came to this earth as a root out of dry ground, he looked just like any other man, but like that tabernacle in the wilderness, if you look on the inside, you see the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. And God's, and you won't see it. You won't see any beauty. There's no beauty about him you should desire. But if God shows you his beauty, if God lets you in to this to tabernacle, if God brings you in, you'll see glory. You'll call him altogether lovely, though men esteem him not. Verse 3, he's despised and rejected. Here's free will. A man doesn't have free will. He rejects God. He rejects his creator. He despises authority. He despises God. He hates God by nature. That's the will of man, but God. Rich in mercy and grace, he sovereignly overrules, breaks that proud will, and man gives him faith. But man despises and rejects him, a man of sorrow. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. He was rejected by everyone when Christ came. Jesus of Nazareth was rejected by everyone. At his birth, they sought to kill him. Throughout his life, he became a man, began to preach. He was rejected, despised. Scribes, Pharisees, in the end, everybody, everyone, except those he had chosen, every single person was crying out to crucify him, kill him. And though we were not there, the eunuch was not there, though we were not there, if you spent a whole life and you've heard of Jesus Christ, and a preacher's preached the word of God to you and you gave it no thought. You were not thankful. You didn't come to worship God. You didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same as killing him. It's despising him and rejecting him. Religion's the worst. It's the worst. Religion without Christ is an abomination to God. It's rejecting Jesus as the Christ. If we don't come to God through one way, the Christ, the Son of God, it's to reject him. If righteousness come by the law, Christ died in vain. and all this stuff about accepting Jesus, and I believed on Jesus, that's an abomination to God. When you hear that you're a sinner in the hands of an angry God, but God in mercy sent a substitute to die for your sin, to put on you your iniquity on his shoulder, and one who did not deserve it, and he got what you deserve, and he gave you what he deserved, that'll make you bow at his feet and be forever grateful and thankful. Realizing God did that in spite of me. He did it in my stead. So he was a man of sorrows. He came to this place. He was stricken, smitten. We esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. That's what they said at the foot of the cross. They said, he cries on God. Let's see if God will have him. Let's see if God will have him. Oh, my. You know what the question is? Will God have us? How's it God going to have us? Through that one hanging on that tree. That's the only way God's going to have us. As he lays on him. You see, verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. Bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions, breaking the law. You know, iniquities is everything that's wrong with you. Nothing right with you. Sin is our out and out rebellion. You see, it goes on to say the chastisement, whipping. The law required a man to be, that's guilty of breaking the law, to be beaten with many stripes. But it says, with his stripes we are healed. He was beaten according to the law. Who did he do this for? Well, he's the great shepherd of the sheep, and he did it for his sheep. Verse 6, Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. But all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. You know, whatever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Is not a human being, my nature, a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not, that can stand before God? But this man did. He said, who convinces me of sin? He's the righteous one. He's the righteous, the holy one of Israel. He's the righteousness of God's people. You don't get tired of hearing that, do you? I don't get tired of saying that. We must hear it. This is what's amazing, brother. He's holy. I'm not. He's righteous. I'm not. He's obedient. I'm not. Well, why would God do such? Why would God send such a one to take the place of a death row criminal that shook his fist? All those people that Christ prayed for, it ended up, finally, they bowed at his feet. Why would he do such a thing? Because he's God, not a man.
Amen.
It's amazing, isn't it? We were sitting at supper the other night, and someone said, I hope we never lose the amazing in grace. I hope grace never ceases to be amazing. What's great? It's God giving you what Jesus Christ earned and giving him what you earned. You know, there's two things human beings just cannot do. Just cannot do. Take the blame for something they didn't do, and give somebody the credit for something they did do. We can't do it. Give somebody the credit for something we did. And take the blame for something somebody else did. We just won't do it. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And he that glorieth, they're going to glory in Christ. They're going to glory in the cross of Christ. Since this is the wisdom of God. Don't you see the wisdom of God in this? You should not see the wisdom of God. God just. How can he be just and justify the ungodly? How can God save us and yet punish our sin? How? Substitution. Satisfaction. That's what this is talking about. Christ satisfied the law. The scripture says he is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He said he'll see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. God is satisfied. See, God's not going to punish his people. Why? Because he's satisfied with what Christ did on their behalf. Substitute. God laid on him the iniquity, all the iniquity of all of God's people, from time in the beginning to the end of time. All of them, from Abel to Zerubbabel, to the last elect baby. I asked one of our young girls, well, there's only one, Mary, Elizabeth. I asked her, I said, you know, God's going to, like Lot, the Lord couldn't destroy Sodom until he brought Lot out. He's going to save his elect. Oh, yeah. And that's the only reason the world still stands, because God still has some elect here. And I said, when the last elect is saved, or maybe baby, and I asked Elizabeth, you're not pregnant, are you? She said, no. But somebody's going to have that last elect child. It's over. They're his sheep. That's who Christ came to save. There's the elect. And he sends his preacher to find them. And verse 6 says, we've all, though like sheep, we've all gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all his sheep, his people. He opened not his mouth like a lamb before sheep before shearers is dumb. Our Lord was stripped naked because all men and women are going to stand naked before God someday. He was taken from prison, verse 8, and judgment. They put him in prison. That's where criminals belong, isn't it? But he didn't belong there. Why is he in prison? He's taking Barabbas' place. Barabbas got to go free. Our Lord stayed in there. I go free. I'm a criminal against God. Why do I go free? Because Christ stayed there. He was taken from prison. Who shall declare his generation? He's cut off out of the land of the living. He died. Crucified. The transgression of my people was stricken. The law, the stroke was laid on him. The wrath of God, the rod of God, the smite the shepherd, Scripture said. The rod of God's wrath was laid on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rod broke. Justice was satisfied. God's wrath was spent, all of it, on the back. Christ said, I did it willingly. He said, I gave my back to the smiter. He said, I gave my cheeks to be plucked. He made his grave with the wicked. He was crucified with thieves. But because of no violence, no deceit, God gave him a rich man's burial. You know, they would throw a common thief's body into a pile of other bodies with no, not in a grave with honor and a tombstone. That's not what they did. They probably took those two thieves, their bodies, and threw them in a common grave, probably burned them. And they would have done that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now when God was pleased with him being made sin, when God made him us, the sinner, and God poured out on him the wrath, God was satisfied, and he died. He died. The wages of sin is death, and Christ died. And after that, there's no more they can do unto him. No more they can do unto him, and there's nothing they can do to us. Why? Because Christ died. All right? Now God's going to afford him a burial of honor and respect that he deserves. And he had Joseph of Arimathea give him his grave, wherein no man had laid. So they'll know when it's empty. There was only one man in that tomb. And he was buried with the rich because he deserved a death, an honorable burial. But it pleased the Lord. Who did this? Philip's telling the eunuch, and I'm telling you. Who did this? Did the Jews do this? Did the Gentiles do this? Did the Romans do this? No, God did this. It pleased the Lord. Why? Because it pleased the Lord to make some people his people. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And it pleased the Lord to choose some of these rotten sinners and give them to Christ And Christ is going to save all of them. And God's going to be pleased with him
and them in him.
It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God did this to him. Men with wicked hands took and crucified Jesus of Nazareth, but they did what God determined before to be done. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God is what put Jesus Christ on the cross. As the surety, as the substitute, as the second Adam, as the covenant head, as the sin offering, as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God killed the lamb. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Everyone he chose, everyone that hears this gospel, everyone that needs a lamb, everyone that repents of their sin, everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they confess him as they're all in all. God says, I will have mercy on you forever. And his mercy endureth forever. He says he'll make his soul an offering for sin. You've made sin. His soul an offering for sin. You see his seed? He did this because he's for his people. And he'll prolong his days. Christ rose from the grave, didn't he? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It did. Christ put away the sins of God's people. And how you know God accepted it? As he rose from the grave. And you know Philip told that eunuch about the high priest going into the holy place with the blood and putting it on the mercy seat and the people waiting outside to see if he's going to come out again, see if God is pleased. He'd come out within the veil. And you know he told him that when Christ was hanging on the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom, God ridden. So we can come boldly into the throne of grace by a new way. Not old blood of sheep and bulls and goats. No. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son himself, we come. God says, come. Jew and Gentile. It's not just the Jews. It's the Gentile. This man's a heathen. You and I are too. We're all a bunch of heathens. He said he'll see the travail of his soul be satisfied, and by his knowledge, Christ, his knowledge of the law, God's knowledge of his people, Christ's knowledge of his people, like Adam knew his wife Eve, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate, whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he justified. Who did all this? God did this. Christ did this for his people, by his knowledge of us, his love for us, his knowledge of the law. He'll justify many, not all. He doesn't love everybody, but he loves some. Who does he love? Those that need him, those that believe on him, those that call on him, those that confess him. And he'll bear their iniquities. He'll justify. Therefore, Isaiah said, I'll divide him a portion with the great. He'll divide the spoil with the strong because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Who is this? This is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, made sin, made flesh, dwell among us, made born of a woman, a virgin, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Under the curse. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Christ was hung on a tree. And God made him to be sin. But God's people. He who knew no sin. That they might be made the righteousness of God in him. And here's what Jesus Christ said. Before he went back to glory. He told his disciples. All of them. He told his preachers. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel. What's the gospel? It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing less. Nothing more. Jesus Christ. As that quote in our bulletin said. It's the substance of the gospel. The sum. The substance. Not just a Christ-centered message. It's all. Okay? That's all we do, because that's all our hope, all our salvation. All of us need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, from the oldest to the youngest, and confess him. Christ said, he that believeth on the Son, Go in all the world and preach the gospel, and he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and confesses it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And Philip told that eunuch that, and I'm telling you, he that believeth and is baptized. What is baptism? It's confessing that Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, did it for you. You should have been crucified. That Jesus Christ, when he was buried for you. That you should have been put away out of God's sight. You should have been killed and put away forever because of your sin against God. But Christ arose. We put under that water. And we come up out of that water. Somebody has to bring you out of the water. A man put you under it. God made him to be sin for us. Made you righteous in him. God did it all. Of him are you in him, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. If you glory, you're going to glory in the Lord. And if you glory in the Lord, boy, you're going to get in that pool. Everybody at Pentecost, when they heard that God had mercy on them, they were in the hands of an angry God, that they rejected God's Son. Every one of them, 3,000 people heard that they rejected God. They didn't believe the true God and the true Christ. They thought he was just Jesus. Now they know he's the Lord God of heaven, and there and he's there in his hands. He can save them or damn them. And they trembled, and they came crying, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be baptized, every one of you." And it says, every one of them had heard this message. Every single one of them said, "Baptize me, confess me. I believe." Peter said, it's an answer of a good conscience. Now look at our text. Acts 8. Now this eunuch heard all that, and you did too. Did you? Did you really hear? He did. His heart was smitten. His heart was healed. His heart was broken over his own sin. And his heart was joyful. He was ashamed of his sin that put Christ on the cross. And he gloried in the Lord Jesus Christ for going to the cross. And our Lord said, he that confesses me before men, I'll confess him before God in heaven. And Peter said, it's an answer of a good conscience. You got a bad conscience when you won't confess God, when you won't confess Christ. You got a bad conscience. Now you've got a good conscience. It's a conscience that's made tender. It's a conscience that's broken. It's a heart that's broken. The only good heart is a broken heart. You got a good conscience when you're willing to, whatever he says, I want to do it. And it's love. That's what it is. Confess him who confessed you before God, who did what he did for you. And the eunuch heard all of this. And it says they came, verse 36, to certain water. And it was a baptism is to be immersed. Baptism is to be put down under. It's a picture of covered under the blood of Jesus. Not just sprinkled on your head, but your whole body, mind, heart, soul, and body covered under the blood. Washed thoroughly from your iniquity. Amen. And it came to this pond or lake or river or whatever it was, and you said, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? What doth hinder you from being baptized? If you haven't confessed this Christ. Anybody in here now who accepted Jesus and believed on Jesus and went to church and your life changed, you had some kind of transformation and you grew up and all that, and all of a sudden you came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace and everything's fine now. No, you weren't saved back then. You didn't confess Christ. You didn't confess this God, this Christ. No, sir. You weren't. And you don't need to be rebaptized. You just need to be baptized. This baptism is confessing Jesus Christ. Not confessing you. Not confessing your faith. It's saying, I need to be just found in Him. Crucified with Him. Buried with Him. Risen with Him. Seated in Him. In Him. Like that ark. Like that ark. Not one single person at Pentecost said, well, the thief wasn't baptized. Anybody that says that doesn't know Him. How could you be ashamed? That's what hinders you. Your pride. Your seniority. Well, I was saved years ago. People think I'm not saved. Paul said, forget that. Forget yesterday. We're not saved by yesterday's faith. Today is the day of salvation. Right? It never fails. When I baptize somebody, I want to say to them, now do me. Every time. Let me confess it. This is wonderful. Isn't it just the most wonderful thing to experience? Seniority. There ain't no seniority in God's heaven. Here's seniority. The last to be first, and the first to be last. Saul of Tarsus. You know what it cost him to be baptized? Everything. He lost all his seniority. He's going to be the high priest in Jerusalem. Now he's baptized. They rejected him, despised him. Good. Now God made him a priest. Seniority. I was saved. I don't know if I was saved yesterday or not. But I heard this today, didn't you, Brother Kelly? And I believe right now, fill the pool up. Baptism doesn't save anybody. It's just an answer of a grateful conscience of somebody who's really heard about a substitute. They're not preaching a substitute in religion. They're preaching a fire escape from hell. They're preaching an insurance policy. Accept this, God accept you. Give a little money and God will return on you a dividend. That's an abomination. This is a grateful people, a thankful people, a broken people, a believing people, a smitten and afflicted people who believe on someone who didn't deserve anything like that. And this eunuch said, would you baptize me? I don't ask people if they'll be baptized. They ask me. And there have been several times I've put them off. But if God's in it, you can't put them off. That's how you know. And here's what Philip said. If thou believest with all thy heart, with the heart believes his life, thou mayest. Believe what? Believe him. He said, I believe. Brothers and sisters, this is salvation. This is my confession of faith. I believe that Jesus, that man named Jesus of Nazareth that walked this earth, is the Christ. He's not, that means my Messiah, my covenant head, the second Adam, the great high priest, that prophet of whom Moses spake, the Lamb of God, the salvation, the blood of God, the Redeemer of God. I believe he's the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he's God manifest in the flesh. I told you about Brother Cody, a young girl, wanting to be baptized. I told you about that. I want to tell it again. Somebody asked him, he said, he told somebody that the young girl wanted to be baptized. And he asked her, why? I always do. Why? You need to know what you're doing. Or rather, who. And she said, young girl, I don't know how. She said, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. And whoever Cody was talking to said, well, what'd you do, Cody? He said, I baptized her. That's what I think. You know what? Brother Ed, isn't that our hope? That man that walked this earth was God. God, our Savior. If I get to heaven, it's going to be by that man. So they went down in that water. Philip said, stop the chariot. Oh, God would just stop our wild career. Stop these chariots. Give the command to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they both went down. Oh, we need to go down, don't we? Down off our high horse. Get out of that chariot and come down, Mr. Leper. Miss Leper? Down into the water. The river of His mercy and grace. River of His blood. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's blood. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose what? All their gifts. And He baptized them. Who did? Philip did. Well, God did. And they came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit led, caught Philip away. Why? Where's he going? You want to do some more preaching? What? Same message. Because God has a sheep out there. This is how He chooses preaching. And so that eunuch won't glory in that preacher. He's gone. Where'd he go? Where's Philip? What? It doesn't matter. I now know the Lord. Know the Savior. And he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Oh, brethren, I believe your election, because God hath from the beginning chosen you salvation through belief of the truth. Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you glory in? What do you glory in? The Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Mm-mm. Brother John, you come and lead us in a closing hymn. What number is it?